Oh, this time I see we're going in via the main door.
Yes, in this cave we're about to enter, Jews are buried who lived outside of Eretz Israel. Jews who lived in Eretz Israel are mostly buried in other caves.
More tombs?
Young man, we're now entering a burial cave. It's 75 meters long, and there are 135 sarcophagi here.
No way! This I have to see.
Slow down, slow down. Wealthy Jews from Caesarea, Tsippori, Tyre and Sidon are buried here. But so are Jews from Antioch, which was the capital of Syria, from Etzion Gaber, that's what we call now Eilat, and even from Tadmor, another important city in Syria from which Jews came to be buried here. There are lots of inscriptions in Hebrew, and quite a few names have the title Rabbi, and so this cave is also called the Cave of the Rabbis.
That means that people buried here were from families of sages who spoke Hebrew. Look at that! Jews from all ends of the ancient world. They all wanted to be buried in the Holy Land near Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi.
You nailed it. Just a second. Right here at the entrance to the cave are two inscriptions, a kind of graffiti, you might say, that explains this exactly. The first one says, "Take courage, holy parents, no one is immortal." The other one says, "Good luck on your resurrection."
Resurrection? The resurrection of the dead?
You're a good scholar. It was believed that at the resurrection from the dead, the first to come back to life would be those who were buried close to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. That's the whole idea behind this burial cave. And that's why there are so many tombs here.
Are you trying to scare me with the story about the dead? Or persuade me to be buried here?
I only mean well. Onward, young man. Let's leave the cave. You'll continue to help me prove the weeds and everything will be fine. Go deeper into the cave and continue listening to the program.
Wow. Who would have thought that there would be such a huge space underground in a cave?
Shh, quiet. You're in a burial cave. Show some consideration. What's with you?
Sorry.
Pay attention to the first sarcophagus on your right. Two sisters were buried here. The older one was 22 years old and the younger one was 9. In those days, they buried their dead in family tombs.
Ah, that shows the importance of family values.
I see we have quite the commentator here.
Wow! 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 Look at this sarcophagus! There are carvings on it. That's not allowed in Judaism. The Bible says, "Do not make any graven image." And here? What is this? A mask on the coffin? There are animals here. That can't be.
You're upset.
It's upsetting.
So come, I want to show you something that will upset you even more. Let's go through the first entrance on the left. Here, right here in this room. Look at this. There's only one sarcophagus, and it's very special.
A VIP must have been buried here.
That's the theory, yes. Look at the decorations on the coffin.
Magnificent lions. Hard to believe that thousands of years ago, there were such talented artists. I'm really not sure that this is a Jewish cemetery. This whole thing doesn't seem right to me.
So listen, my friend. There are many explanations for what you see here in the burial cave. First of all, we have to ask when these carvings date from.
When?
Scholars think they buried people here from the end of the 2nd century to the 4th century CE.
Ah, that's about the end of the Roman Empire.
That's right. Those are exactly the years where the Roman Empire turns into the Byzantine Empire. Christianity moves ahead and Rome becomes more Christian. And the images you see here are Greek. They had lost their religious value and became, shall we say, decorative. Now let's go straight down the corridor until we reach the sarcophagus of Nikes.
No, are you coming?
Hold on, wait for me!
This is the sarcophagus of Nikes. Do you know who the Nikes were?
Well, who?
You're a learned student, aren't you?
Nike
was the goddess of victory in Greek mythology.
So maybe the person who was buried here won a lot of victories in his lifetime.
The theories are endless. We're in the Roman Empire. Greek influences have taken over, especially in the places where the people buried here were from. Remember? Jews were buried here from Tyre, Sidon, Babylonia, and Antioch. At that time, mythological gods were the cultural language in those regions.
You know what I'll take away with me from all of this?
Touching the tombs is not allowed!
No, I mean metaphorically. The Jewish people were tolerant of the influences of other cultures that lived in the region.
Okay.
Stay with me. On the timeline, we're after the death of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi.
Right.
The Jewish people were in a good time in history. They flourished, they accepted the other, they allowed dialogue with other cultures around them.
I get it. I must say, what you said touched me deeply.
You know, they say about Rabbi Gamaliel that he went to the bathhouse.
No.
And his students teased him. How come you go to the bathhouse under the naked statue of Aphrodite?
What did he reply?
I didn't come to her, she came to me. That is, she's a guest here, and I'm local. So there's a lot of tolerance toward another culture. Tolerance and acceptance of the other.
Yep, I suppose that Rabbi would have been glad to hear that. Let's go see the menorah. Continue straight until the end of the corridor. Pass through the large space that opens up in front of you. At the end of the corridor, you'll come to the menorah. If we had any doubt that this was a Jewish cemetery, here you have this impressive menorah. It is one of about 100 menorahs that were found at this site and proves it for sure. The menorah is a Jewish symbol. From here, look back and go to the left side of the cave. When you reach to the end of the wooden path, continue listening to the program.
I see that here underground, it's Hanukkah all year round.
It's a menorah, my friend, but not a Hanukkah menorah.
1, 2, 3, you're right. It's a 7-branched menorah, the earliest Hebrew symbol. Listen, to see such a large carving of a 7-branched menorah, it's so exciting, I'm speechless.
Dozens of reliefs of our menorah were found at Beit She'arim. Many Jews were buried here. According to scholars, for much of the time, the Jews who were buried here actually lived far away, but they wanted to be buried in Eretz Israel, in Beit She'arim.
That goes to show you the importance of the place.
Come, look at this sarcophagus. What color is it?
It's a little dark in here.
So use your phone flashlight. Here, I'll do it.
It's red!
The original color of all the sarcophagi you saw before, and you'll see later, was red. With time, the red faded, and we conserve it as much as we can.
Sorry, I wasn't concentrating. I was hypnotized by the carvings of these dolphins on the other sarcophagus. Wow, there's a big shell in the middle. Come and see, right in front of you. You've gotta see this.
When you look closely at the carvings, you can see amazing works. You just have to focus on the details. Are you coming?
Yes, the shell hypnotized me. Wow.
Yes, come. Let's start back on the wooden path.
These stones here that are surrounded by metal poles, are they unexcavated tombs?
Precisely. Good, my young scholar. The archaeologists left this excavation for the generations to come. There's so much to uncover in our country, especially at Beit She'arim. There are caves that we haven't begun to dig, and who knows what they'll reveal. From here, we invite you to continue your visit in this cave and listen to the program at the next stop, Grave Robbers. Go into the mask room. With your back to the main entrance to the cave, it's the second room on the right. We invite you to continue the tour in the cave while you listen to the program. Hey, hey, don't touch the walls of the cave.
Listen, it just crumbles in my hand.
Don't touch, I said. This cave is carved out of chalk, which is soft rock. You can dig out huge spaces in here with simple tools. Bottom line, don't touch the cave walls.
You make it sound easy, but don't forget that after they dig out the cave, they have to take out all the material they dug.
That's good thinking. They had sandbags and wagons. And in any case in this cave, the digging itself was very easy. If you look closely, you'll see a secret passage that grave robbers dug.
Grave robbers?
Psst, psst. Where are you?
I'm here. Come quickly. I found a gold ring.
It was a good idea to sneak in here. Where was the ring?
Next to this tomb. Help me!
You'll never be able to open the lid of this tomb. Come on, let's break it.
No. Hold on. Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. There are treasures in this tomb. Come on, stick your hand in and you'll find the treasures.
Somebody's buried in there. You stick your hand in there.
I have to do everything myself. Coins.
Jewelry.
And what's this?
It looks like some kind of glass vessel. Beautiful. Put it in the sack.
Almost all the tombs you see here were broken into by robbers in later periods. Think about it. We're talking about more than 1,500 years of history from the time they buried people here to this day. There were always robbers and they broke the tombs.
They broke them just like that?
Yes.
Wait a second. You want to tell me that these breaks in the corners of the stone sarcophagi are the actual places the robbers broke in?
Yes. The lid of the tomb was so heavy that the robbers couldn't move it. It was easier for them to break the corners where the seams of the stones are. That's the weak point. Then all they had to do was slide their hands in and grab whatever they could.
Who were those robbers?
Who knows? These break-ins apparently happened quite a long time ago. Over the years, the caves filled with sand, soil, and stones and were no longer used. There were also earthquakes. Hey, before we leave, let's see if you can find a small passageway between the spaces in the cave. The grave robbers who broke in here dug themselves passageways between the spaces so they could escape more easily with their loot. From here, continue to the water cistern. You can reach it on foot or by vehicle.